in our study, and I believe this will probably be the last part of the study entitled, or the series entitled, Calm. And the title of today's message is Calm Conquers Fear. Calm is greater than fear. We live in days right now that are intensifying the fear within the heart of man. Fear brings about an instability in our lives. When fear enters in, it has a goal, and that goal is to control our lives. And it's not just the enemy that knows that fear is an instrument of control, but mankind has learned over the years how to lead masses by instilling fear upon them. And this morning, we know this, for God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power, love, and self-control. So the question I would ask this morning, if we are struggling with fear, we have to look at the source of where that fear comes from. For God will not deposit fear in the hearts of his people. And we see the very opposite of that. He is a God who places power within us. He is a God that doesn't put hate within us. He fills us with love. And in that love, he allows us to function in a way that is self-controlled, not by our spirit, but by his Holy Spirit that lives in us. I want to encourage you this morning, if you've been struggling with these days of fear that we live in, I want to remind myself and remind this congregation that we are vessels not of fear, but God has created us to be vessels of power. That's a good thing. That's a good thing. What we plug into feeds what lives in us. And there's a lot of sources right now that are seeding fear time and time again. But what power, because God's looking at us as individuals today, what power lives in you? And there are a few realities that we could have in our hearts. One is it the spirit or is it the flesh that dominates our heart? Meaning this, is our heart filled daily with the presence of the Holy Spirit leading us and reminding us of his power within? Or do we allow the flesh to return and those works of the flesh be led by that power of fear that seeks to take away calm from our lives? And then the simplistic reality of Scripture is this, and it always boils down to these two kingdoms. One is the kingdom of God, and one is the kingdom of Satan. The kingdom of light or the kingdom of darkness. And that is the choice that we have. There is no middle ground. And we make a choice each day which kingdom is going to establish our steps. And I promise you this, if it is the kingdom of Satan, he is intensifying in our lives the lessening of calm and the elevation of fear within. What lives inside these hearts that God has destined to be hearts, lives filled with his power? Is it calm or is it fear? Now, trouble is upon us as a nation. And I think anybody that looks at the reality of our nation right now, people have to stop and think, where is 2021 going to lead us? I was talking to Robert earlier today, and I said, Robert, 2020 sounds so cool, doesn't it, as a year? Sounds like the kid just has a ring to it, but the reality of it has been different. So in this time that God has chose to place us here, He will not make a path that is founded on fear. He will establish for us a path where calm and power are the steps that we can walk upon. And this is not an unusual event. Isaiah 7, chapter 7, verse 4, reminds us of what it looks like when trouble is upon us. You remember King Ahaz. Isaiah was sent to him with these words. God said, I want you to go to this king that is ruling over my nation, that is troubled because of the rumors of what is getting ready to happen to him. In fact, they're not just rumors, they're reality. And these were the instructions that came from the heart of God. Be careful. Keep calm. Don't be afraid. And then this vital aspect, do not lose heart. Now, these were not mere suggestions from God, but this king in distress, he was told of the commands of God, be careful, keep calm, don't be afraid, do not lose heart. How do you know when you're losing heart? How do you know that the residence of your heart is being occupied more by fear than it is by faith and trust in God? There's some signs. Is your heart fearful? Are you concentrating on the what ifs or the realities that are around the corner that you begin to dread and fear? Do you lack a calm in your countenance? Because again, a heart filled with fear cannot be stable in the calmness that God provides. And then, is there a rejection of wise counsel? What does that really mean? When we reject wise counsel, we're not being careful, are we? When we reject wise counsel, we're just going and forging our way in what seems right to us. But again, those commands, be careful, keep calm, don't be afraid, don't lose heart. And then I can imagine King Ahaz looking into the eyes of Isaiah and saying something like what we may say to him. Why not, Isaiah? Why not be afraid? The command was, don't be afraid, but why not, Isaiah? It's easy for you to say that, Isaiah. You're not in what? My shoes. Isaiah, you're the prophet. I recognize that, but you are not in my shoes. You are not the king that has all of these responsibilities. You've been there? When fear begins to make its home in us, it begins to reason for its residency. And here, I can imagine, Isaiah, you're not the king. We begin to make the list when we begin to entertain fear in our lives. We begin to make the list. Does your list make a case for calm, or does it make a case for fear? We justify what remains in us, and that is a normal fallen human trait, making a reason for something to remain that God has asked to leave. Do we make a case for calm when the enemies begin to show up at our door? Again, Ahaz, the king of Judah, the line of David, this beautiful coming of the Messiah, the nation that would continue, the lineage that would continue, now is in distress because of the realities that were surrounding him. Rezin, the king of Syria, Pekah, the king of Israel, the kingdom that divided, that broke off from Judah, now teamed up as allies of affliction to bring harm to Ahaz and the kingdom that God had called him to lead. And then we look again at this. Say to him, be careful, keep calm, and don't be afraid. Do not lose heart. And I want you to look at these two words. Because of. Now, Ahaz, because of. These two smoldering stubs of firewood. What he saw is great and something that would destroy him. God says, they're nothing more but embers that are smoldering. They are not greater than I am. I want you to see them the way that I see them. But here is the thing in our life. When fear makes a reservation to live in us, when it knocks on the door and we open it, it's always because of something. What is it in our lives right now? Let's read further, verse 5. Because Syria with Ephraim and the son of Remaliah has devised evil against you, saying, listen to their cast of fear. Let us go up against Judah and terrify it. Let us conquer it for ourselves and set up the son of Tabeel as king in the midst of it. And then verse 7. Thus says the Lord God. The direct word of God through the prophet Isaiah. It shall not stand. It shall not come to pass. Now, these were not words of just hope. These were words of reality that God wanted seated deep in the heart of Ahaz. But you know, when God comes with his word, we don't have to allow it to live in us. And Ahaz was in that situation. Either he was going to follow the advice and believe what God said, or he was going to reject calm and miss one of the greatest powers that God had extended to him. Again, the word was, don't be afraid. What lives in us is by our own acceptance. And you say, Pastor, that's easy maybe for you to say. You don't know the allies of affliction that are coming around me right now. You don't know my list. You don't know my situation. But if we allow fear to live in our hearts, we are the ones that allowed it to come in. We are the ones that allowed it to remain. No one else. Now, others contribute. Allies of affliction surround us in many different manners. But for it to possess our heart, it is our choice to allow it. Refuse to be a vessel of fear. And further in Isaiah chapter 41, verses 10, we see this tremendous promise from God. But a promise from God also comes with conditions. And in this situation, it comes with commands. And I want us to look at this. So do not fear. For I am with you. Do not be, say that word with me, dismayed. So here is our responsibility. Our responsibility, the command is, do not fear. There's no excuse for fear living in the heart of a follower of Christ. It will come and it will knock on the door a lot. But it does not belong and it must be rejected. It cannot live in the heart of a believer without devastating consequences. And then here's another command. Do not be dismayed. Remember as a kid, you fell. One of the things, learning how to ride a bicycle, there was always going to be consequences in the journey, right? You knew it. And back in my day, there was no helmets. There were no knee pads and shoulder pads. Just ride it, son. You got it, Daddy? Yeah. You hear this voice at a distance. And asphalt was awaiting. I heard a skateboarder say this week. He says, one of the greatest things, and I hate skateboards. Let me just make that really clear. I hate them with a passion. The skateboarder said this. Skateboards are great for kids. I said, Mr. Cautious. He says, because it teaches them that in life you are going to fall. And you know what? It is going to hurt. But if you press through, you're going to get better at the journey. Now, sorry, guys, God didn't make me daredevil, but we used to live across from Lynn Haven Vocational School. And I remember on the weekends, kids would come in there with skateboards, and there were these steps that went down really sharp, and they were trying to ride that railing, and I would hear collapse after collapse and owls after owls, and I just had to, like, get away from it. But you know what? In our lives, there's going to be times where we're going to stumble. There's going to be times where we're going to, as Chas made so clear this morning, we're going to miss it. But in those times, we must not settle in that place. Here, fear is going to knock on our door. But if we freeze and do not move forward, we will make residence for fear. And then we see again, there are five promises that are listed in this verse. And these are promises from God that can be our reality if we choose. Here, so do not fear, for I am with you. Almighty God, the I am, Almighty God has promised to be with you. So the enemies surround, chaos seems to be bringing more and more of its reality to our life. But God has told us, no reason to fear, for I am with you. And then, do not be dismayed, another promise, for I am your God. Now, we know this, there are a lot of false gods, aren't there? Tons of false gods. But there's only one true God. And for some reason, by grace, you are not in a mosque today. Some reason, by grace, you're not in some Buddha temple right now. For some reason, God has aligned your heart to the true God. Are we going to waste that? Are we going to set that aside or let it just be a common thing now and then that we attach to? No, God has chosen you to be a worshiper of the only God. There is no other God. There are a lot of fantasies out there, but there's only one God that spoke all creation into existence. And guess what? He's your God. And he has promised, I am your God. And then another promise that we see there, I will. You're not strong enough, man. Pick yourself up. You're not strong enough. No. God's looking at it different. I will strengthen you where you can stand up. I will strengthen you so that you can overcome the fear and live in that peace of my calm within you. And not only that, I will strengthen, but I also will help you. I'll help you get up. I'll help you after you fall. I am there. In fact, I will even allow that fall not to be so great that it takes you away. These are promises from God. These are truths that take fear and put the hand of God in its face and say, get behind me, Satan. You don't belong in the heart of one who has faith in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You do not belong in me. And then we see this, another promise. I will uphold you. You feel like these days about to knock you out? Crazy days. You feel like fear has kind of eased its way in, and now it seems more comfortable than the calm that you once trusted in. You know, fear can become a habit. But here, I will uphold you. I will establish calm. I will establish peace that no fear will be able to take away. And then I want you to be encouraged by this promise. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Your hand ain't big enough, man. I'm tough. I can do it. No, your hand ain't big enough. Your arm's not strong enough. Oh, it is. I don't need God. I'm going to forge my way. Forge my way to where? I tell you a sign that we are not allowing the strength, the hand of our righteous God to hold us, is the element of the words of fear living in our hearts and living in our minds and guiding our steps. Remember this, fear does not come with a message of power, it comes with a message of weakness. Fear does not come with the message of wisdom, it comes with the message of foolishness. Fear does not come with the message of hope, it comes with the message of hate. Do you hate anybody today? Do you hate anybody today? Because if we hate, then fear's already won within us. Verse 7, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. A lot of people need self-control today, don't they? We all need self-control. A sign that it's not the Holy Spirit living in our hearts, but it is fear manifesting. Our behavior that is despicable to the heart of God. Words that break God's heart and doesn't celebrate, doesn't make his heart celebrate. But you know what? Power is an option for all of us. Grace tells us this. You can connect to the power of God. You can overcome what fear is seeking to place within you. You have the ability to reach the source. But do you have the will? And I'm speaking to myself, to reach the source. It's one thing to know where the power is. It's another to plug into that power, correct? And so here this morning, there's an outlet right here against the wall. And it's plugged into the power. And as I turn this switch, the light comes on. It's not magic. It's plugged into the power. It's connected to the source that illuminates the heart. But we have a choice to say, God, I want all of your power. I want everything that you want to vest in my heart. Or God, I choose today to not be connected. In fact, over time, when that's not lit, the connection is not even an issue in our lives. Casting all your anxieties on Him because He cares for you. The heart that I have reveals the source that I'm plugged into. Let that always be a clear knowledge in us, is that where fear resides, God is asked to vacate. Where fear resides, the power of God is no longer the source that we depend upon. But we see 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, cast all your anxieties on Him because He what? Cares for you. What? Anxieties, fear, worry, things that exit calm. God says we have a command, and our part is to cast, not hold on. But fear is like a magnet that makes us okay with anxiety living on in us. Is anxiety a safe thing to hold on to? Is fear a safe thing to hold on to? I would think not. Y'all know it ain't real, right? Because you know I wouldn't be touching it if it was. But I want to use this as an image today. This represents fear. Because I can't think of anything else that I would run from than this. Is that where fear belongs? No, not at all. There's a story about the snake. I used it for illustration a while back. And I had it in a plastic bag, a garbage bag. And I had it sitting over here. And on a day when we had a guy here, big guy named John, that used to clean the church. He came in that day and he told me this. I think I shared this story before. He says, I'm going to get everything done, but I got to get to the bank. And he says, I got like a lot of money on me right now. I got to get deposited. And he was talking about thousands of dollars. I didn't ask him where he got it from, but he had a lot of money he had to deposit. And so in my mind, I'm thinking, well, you know, okay. I love John. We would talk, and he would tell me things. Well, I'm in my office, and I'm talking about John, 6'5", at least, big guy. The next thing I hear is, Ned! And I hear these footsteps running down the hall. And what did I do? I think I've told you this before. I was like, if John is scared, I better be terrified. So the first thing I did was lock my door. That's pretty sad, isn't it? And when I knew they didn't come after him for the money, I stepped out and said, John, are you all right? And he told me, he says, and then he walked back and the snake was in that bag. And it terrified him. It terrified him. And I got a little scared in the process too. But how foolish is it to keep fear close to us? You know, if I was tough enough and this was a live snake, how foolish would it be to allow it to remain? You see, God has instruction for when we entertain fear. And I want to say this. Fear can become a habit. Fear can even become a cause in our lives. Fear can be something that motivates us to follow things that we should never follow. And in fact, fear is so evil, if it bites us with its venom, it won't let go. and it pumps more and more of its detriment into our hearts. God knows that. God knows fear is a controller of humanity. So he has promised us that he is greater than any fear that will come against us. He has told us he is not the author of fear, and he gives us this command where we have to be part of the journey. Casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. So what does that mean? When I cast it, it is not a flippant, it is not an unwise response. I am casting it upon him, upon his reasoning, upon his wisdom. I am getting it off of myself, and I'm casting it where it belongs, away from me and in the hands of God. And God's going to deal with the fear, and he will deal with those that seed fear within us. Are you carrying or casting your fears? And I'm speaking to myself. Am I letting the fears be close to my heart, or am I casting them upon God as he is required? See, fear must not make its home within our hearts. We must evict fear. And I've shared this story years ago. Someone had a kind heart and opened their home to an individual. And this person lived alone, and just out of the kindness of their heart, they said, "Come on, you can stay for me for a while." She thought maybe 1 week, 2 weeks tops. 3 weeks, 4 weeks, 5 weeks, 6 weeks started to kick in. And at that point, it was time for that person to move on. Some people don't get the hint, though, do they? Sometimes you just got to cast, right? Some people don't get the hint. Well, words like this were said to this individual. You know, God has told me to remain here. How you gonna argue with that? Well, you know there is an argument with that. God has told me to remain here, so I'm gonna stay a little bit longer. I don't feel released yet. Okay, you've been there. Well, it gets worse than that. So fear will make a case to remain. The list will come. And that list will also come with the name of God attached to it. But it isn't the authority of God. It will come in the disguise of a religious spirit to remain. But here's the thing. God, this person said to this precious person, is telling me that you are to move to another city. So it was like this. I ain't getting out of your house. You need to get out of your house in the name of God. See how sneaky things can be? And that is basically the message of fear. The Holy Spirit says, evict, evict, evict. The spirit of fear says, remain, 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 and let go of your identity in Christ so that fear will remain. So, you know, I was thinking, that's a bad story. But, you know, we learn from stories. It got worse than that. Because once you start nodding that God, when someone says God said it, you give them the benefit of the doubt, we test the spirit. Then, at another prayer meeting, the person went a little further. Not only is God telling me to tell you that you need to move to another city, but when you move, you need to give me, indeed, your house to me. God's telling me that. Now, this isn't a made-up story. This is legit. All in the name of Jesus. Oh, it didn't stop there. And I hear something else now. When you deed your house to me, God is telling me that you are to leave all of your furnishings and stuff in the house for me. At that time, the eviction notice began. The foolishness was exposed, and it was time to what? Leave. That's a horrible story, isn't it? But that is what fear will seek to do within us. Fear will not leave on its own. Fear works to control us. Fear has to go. It must go. And then God makes it clear, give your fears to him. Now let's move to verse 6 of chapter 7 of Isaiah. The plan was this. The kings that warred against Ahaz, this was their plan. Let us go up against Judah and terrify it. Let's make it fearful. Let's make it unwise, uncareful. Let's control it so that we can have our will within it. Terrify it. Fear seeks to dishearten us. Fear seeks to still our courage with discouragement. Courage goes hand in hand with faith. And courage is instilled by the gift of faith that God places within us. Fear comes to diminish courage and make us follow the will of the fear. Can you imagine if that individual would have said, if God told you that, okay, working all your life for this house paid off, and now you're going to sign it over to somebody and give them your furniture that you spent your life. And this individual loved being able to decorate their house. And you're going to give all that away. Well, here's the thing. In this age that we're living in right now, fear is knocking like never before. And the church is designed to deal with fear. But not all in the church will deal with fear in the way that God calls us. For some will allow the residents of fear to live in and mold them by a different power. Rather than being connected to the source of God, fear will lead them to trust in their own source. And the power of God will be pushed aside. And then we go further in verse 6. Let us go up against Judah and terrify it. Let us conquer it ourselves. Conquer it. Take control of it. Take its furniture. Take its belongings. Take everything to become the sole owner of it. Fear seeks to destroy our true identity in Christ. God did not make us to be people of fear. God did not make us to be people that are led by fear. God called us to be people of faith that overcome fear, and the evidence of that calmness and that presence of God within is that sweet peace, that sweet love, that calming that conquers the fear that sets itself up against us. And then we look further here. Let us go up against Judah and terrify it. Let us conquer it for ourselves and set up the son of Tabil as king in the midst of it. Fear has one destiny, and that is to control us. And I tell you, the journey that fear wants to take us on is not a pretty one. We know right now in America, there are more and more cases of depression in the hearts of our children like never before. We know that suicide rates in our country are intensifying because fear is lifting its head and doing its will. Now, here's the thing that is so important to embrace. And this is between you and God. Life is filled with danger. Life is filled with consequences. But the life that God gives us should never be controlled by fear. You remember Jesus? They were amazed that he went around the leopards, prayed for the leopards, and trusted that the purposes of God would prevail through whatever came against him. Same is true for us as believers. If we live mindful always of the dangers that can happen to us, and we begin to look at the creation of God as something that's not of blessing, but of curse and detriment, that is no way to live our lives. I'm going to share a quick story with you. We, as a family, went to the voting polls, and we voted. We did what God had asked us to do, what men had died so that we could do. Men like George Parson that defended our rights to go and cast a vote for who we chose to lead our nation. You know what a privilege that is. So we go in, and you know the new system that's in place is kind of unique. And my wife was handed a little special kind of pen to write on, like an iPad. And so she put her signature on there. And after she held it, the lady looked at her and says, "Put the dirty one in that basket." And so my wife says, "You know, what did that make me feel like? A dirty one." So you're saying I'm dirty because I touched the pen. Now, some people may say, "Oh, that was just misusing a phrase." But here's the thing. From the abundance of the mouth, from the heart, the mouth speaks. Fear will try to come against us in ways to rob the things that are most precious in our lives. And our families are precious, right? Our church family is precious. And the first thought that I have when I encounter someone in this congregation, if it's fear of what they may give me, there's a problem with that. Not saying it's not wise to use wisdom, but I tell you this, to treat the creation of God as if they're a detriment to my health and my reality is not a good heart to possess and to amplify. You know, again, don't go to Thanksgiving this year, right? Chicago, don't go to Thanksgiving. So basically, your family's dirty. Don't go. New York, I can't go visit my in-laws that are near 80 without all of these steps of quarantine and test and everything. Don't go unless you're willing to quarantine. I think at one time it was like 7 days. And Lord help you if a test comes out that says it's positive when it may not be. You will not see them. New York has established this. Only 10 people are recommended to be at your family Thanksgiving dinner. So I'm saying this. For some, they think, hey, that's cool. Nothing wrong with it. And that's your prerogative. That's your liberty. But if we live for long with this mindset, if we allow fear to guide our connections to others, the detriment of that will be something that will be hard to ever overcome. Be careful of what fear seeks to accomplish in our hearts. Fear seeks to control us. The calm spirit makes no room for fear to dwell. You know, God, forgive me for the times that I treated others as if they were a detriment to me. You know, as a pastor, I'll be honest, I'm first to tell you, I'm a germaphobe. I am. And going to the hospital was always a challenge for me. And I thank God for hand sanitizer. But God would convict me. Are you trusting in me? Because if you catch something, son, maybe it's your time to leave. Here's the final words in Isaiah that we'll deal with right now for this study. Thus says the Lord God. This is the words, again, of Isaiah from God to Ahaz. Thus says the Lord God, it shall not stand, it shall not come to pass. There's another scripture we're going to as well. Who said that? Your fears are taking you to places you don't need to go. Your fears are taking faith out of your heart. Your fears are manipulating anxiety that is affecting not only you, but the people that you lead. Don't worry. God has this in full control. And then, O vessels of power, be careful. Keep calm. Don't be afraid. Don't lose heart. Because of. And what do we fill in after because of? And here's the final words that I wanted to touch base on in Isaiah. This is the latter part of verse 9. O King Ahaz, O people of God, if you are not firm in faith, you will not be firm at all. If you are not firm in faith, you will not be firm at all. The enemy of faith is fear. The foundation of life that is stable, that is calm, is our faith in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Faith that knows God, you are with me. Faith that knows that you are my God. I have trusted in the one who created all things. Faith that knows that God will strengthen me, that God will help me, that God will uphold me by his righteous right hand. If we can bow in prayer this morning, thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. This morning, we have the privilege of entering into communion in remembrance of what Jesus has done for us. We celebrate the power of his blood that has transformed who we are. And it is a power that nothing can overcome. It is a power that sees fear that comes against the heart of those who trust in Jesus and has full ability to break any attack that the enemy sets against us. It is a power that makes no residency, no vacancy for fear to dwell. This time is a time of honoring the remembrance of what Jesus has done. And so these elements are available for those that would like to partake. I ask that you come and receive the elements, prepare them, and then we will partake of them together.